Hey, everybody, this is David. I'm going to have an awesome podcast episode right now. It's going to be our first one hosted by our development manager, Maria Abando. It's April 21st. As we chug along towards the election of our lifetimes. And Maria Abando is going to start a new kind of episode series that we're having. And she's going to hop in here in just a second. Really excited. We're continuing to kind of think of ways to create and to build out our connections and our community and to highlight and treasure folks that we just love. So it's great to be here. It's a privilege to have all of you be part of our organization and be part of our work. Thanks for joining us today. One of the things that we've thought about is ways to highlight community members in common purpose. And one of those is, the goal here is to get to meet some people who are doing work in our community and hear about their journey and their work and their values and kind of their priorities and why they decided to get involved with Common Purpose. So let's bring in Maria here. Hello, Maria.
All right. Hey. Hey, David. How's it going?
Just a second.
Are
I'm
you
not
there?
Here for a second. Hang on a second, Maria. But I know you're there. Let's see.
Okay, thank you.
Got to adjust something here. Yep. Here we go.
All right.
There we are. See, I had to go in and into my settings. I had to go into my settings and got it fixed. I'm feeling so like a producer.
Oh my gosh. I'm grateful you're producing us, David. Thank you.
How are you today, Maria?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Really excited to be able to get started with these community highlights. A big piece that is important to me about why I love Common Purpose is just how incredible and amazing our community is. So I've been looking forward to this since yesterday.
Sure. So yeah. So Andrea's in our studio. Should she click
all
on
right.
the chair? Should she come on in?
Yeah. Let's bring Andrea on in here. Okay. So I'm excited for the opportunity to get started with these. It's definitely, like I said, a reason I love our community, but also a part of why I love the Common Purpose leadership team is giving us these opportunities to be able to grow and be creative and really lead our own ideas. And this was something I've been thinking about for a little while because of how much I love our Common Purpose community and the just amazing depth and breadth of experiences that we have in our community. And I just thought, gosh, like I find it so valuable to be able to hear from each other when we're on these trips, when we are in the field, when we do tours. It's awesome to be able to connect and hear each other's stories. And I thought it would be a great idea to be able to have these community highlights. And David, I appreciated you suggesting I do them via podcast and jumping in to help me produce these. And I'm hoping to do as many as I can while we're here in social isolation. But while I was thinking about it, really, the first person that came to my mind that I'd want to interview is Andrea Lieberman, who I believe is calling in here soon.
No, Andrea.
Oh, she's in.
I'm right here. Hi, guys.
All right. Hey. Andrea, it's so good to have you on here.
Thank you. I am just beyond thrilled to join you guys. Thank you.
Well, for those who don't know Andrea, Andrea has been with us since 2018. She's been pretty foundational within Common Purpose and just with my story, too, and my leadership journey. Like, from the beginning, she was a person that I connected with and was a reason that I kept returning. For those of you who don't know me very much, when I started out in 2018, I was a year out of college, just graduated from UW in 2017. I graduated with a biology degree, but I was just so fired up about things going around in the nation that I wanted to get involved with some campaigns. I wanted to be an organizer. I wanted to figure out ways that I could help my community shape the policies that can help transform our lives and move us forward for the better, hopefully. And I decided to try and be a campaign organizer for a couple different campaigns. It wasn't work I was able to sustain for a lot of different reasons. And I ended up working for Humanities Washington, a local nonprofit. But I was still excited and ready to kind of flex my civic engagement muscles. So when I came on with Common Purpose, I was really excited, but off the bat, I was super intimidated because all of our volunteers, as amazing as they were, when I looked out, I just saw a lot of difference, a lot of difference in demographic background, race, age. And I had been recruited as a state captain for the Nevada team. And I was just not sure how someone like me was going to be a leader for a group of folks that just had so much more experience than me and just had all these differences. And Andrea Lieberman from the beginning was somebody who really changed my heart on that. She showed me that she believed in me and that she called me her fearless leader and that I could do this and lead this team to a state that I hadn't been before to do this work with Common Purpose. She would have meetings with me, phone conversations, talk with me through the things that I was nervous about. And we had like a really good time as well. And that first trip that I took really sealed the deal for me. And I was stuck on Common Purpose since then. And she has since then as well has been energizing everyone, organizing, jumping in whenever she sees a need. She's hosted fundraisers for us, both in Seattle and in Sun Valley, and she's amazing all around. So I'm really excited to have you on, Andrea. If I could probably talk about you for forever and ever.
How are you? The feeling is mutual. I'm great. It's a beautiful day in Idaho, and I'm just so happy to have this community, even if it's via podcast and telephone.
Yeah. So you're out in Idaho. Where are you now?
Well, at this exact moment, actually, my husband and daughter are out on a little adventure. And so I'm parked in a on the side of the highway where we happen to have a good cell signal. So I'm sitting in the midst of pine trees and melting snow and beautiful sunshine. And I can see the mountains, and that's just gorgeous. And I hope this finds other people being able to look out the window and seeing something pretty.
Oh my gosh. Right. So, and is that in Sun Valley?
Yeah, we're just outside of Sun Valley. We're just north of Sun Valley a little bit.
Okay.
But still in Blaine County, because we're supposed to stay in our county.
Right. So when we first met you, you were in Seattle, but it sounds like now you're in Idaho. Had you always been in Seattle beforehand, and what brought you to Idaho?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Seattle. I'm one of those, you know, originals. And actually my dad, well, he was born in Vancouver, BC in 1915, but he moved to Seattle in 1917. So so our whole life has been very much Seattle centered. And, you know, I've watched it go from what I think the freeway traffic is like right now. They built that freeway in 1965 when I was 3 years old. And I think the traffic patterns are back to what they were in 65 with COVID, I'm afraid. But Seattle is in my heart and my blood. And it's funny, my husband's from the Bay Area. And when we drive into Seattle and it's gray and, you know, there's traffic and all that, and he gets kind of frustrated. And it's sort of like my blood chemistry relaxes because I find myself back at home. I love it there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So while you're in Seattle, I know you've had a lot of experience with business consulting, a lot of different nonprofit organizations. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey and maybe some of the principles that guided you in that work and brought you here?
You know, that's such an interesting question to me, because I never looked at my work pattern or my engagement pattern in any sort of structured way. I went to college in California, and then I ended up living in the Bay Area and working for Sunset Magazine as a travel writer. And if anybody knows Sunset Magazine, a big part of their style is to talk in the second person, meaning you can go and do this. So it's very much about engaging the audience and encouraging people to try and do and see. And so I spent 4 years doing that. And then I ended up in public relations and then in marketing and then in fundraising. And now when I look back on that, I actually started a little business in the right after the downturn in the economy in 2008, bicycle billboard advertising, and the whole goal was engagement. And I realized, looking back, I've spent my career trying to engage other people and encourage them and inspire them to take action or do something. And, you know, at its most basic level, it was writing an article about going into the Redwood National Park in Northern California and see what there is to see there. And then with biking billboards to encourage people to try out, you know, a new T-Mobile plan or something. That was one of our clients. And then, of course, in fundraising to see the value in contributing money or time or effort into some valuable pursuit. And boy, did that ever lead me right to the door of Common Purpose.
Yeah. That's so funny, because since I've known you, I would absolutely say that one of your superpowers is getting people to join us, to getting people to engage and bringing other people in. Exactly what you're talking about urging them to try and to do and to see. And I'd probably read anything you wrote and follow you anywhere, Andrea.
The feeling's mutual, Maria.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, Andrea, how did you first learn about Common Purpose?
Well, actually, it was after we had started spending more time in Sun Valley. This had been a vacation place, and my husband semi-retired and I semi-retired, so we started spending winters here. And good friends from Seattle, I'll only name first names, but our good friend from Seattle, Martha, was also over here, and she sent me a link about, she had heard about Common Purpose and had been to several of Professor Domke's lectures, and had heard about Common Purpose from that it was starting up. This was in January of 2018. So I think the outreach had just begun in January or February. And her friend Mary Ruckelshaus, who is one of the founding leaders of Common Purpose, had said they were starting workshops in March. And so it seemed like exactly what I was looking for after joining some of the post-election indivisible Seattle and Indivisible Blaine County, and I just felt like I needed more, and this seemed like the perfect opportunity to learn how to go out and engage in civic action that was maybe a little bit more meaningful and maybe had a longer reach than, you know, protesting at the airport when, you know, immigration laws were being changed, or, you know, I loved the Women's March, but I wanted more than just marching. So what Martha told me about Common Purpose, I got online and I signed up and I headed back to Seattle and joined that first series of, I think it was 5 workshops. And just found it, you know, they were long, long, long workshops. It was 5 Saturdays, once every 2 weeks for 5 hours each time. And it was like, you know, it seemed like a giant commitment, but that immersion really helped me get my arms around it and not be afraid to jump in.
Yeah, yeah. Was there a particular issue? I know you mentioned immigration and the Women's March. Was there anything specific that you that kind of rose to top as an issue for you that you were hoping to make a difference on?
Well, one of the things that you and the other leaders of Common Purpose really talked about was the importance of civic engagement, specifically through the most basic of all engagement, which is to vote, to register to vote and to vote. And my gut, and you know, I am very much an instinctive actor, not a data-driven actor. And my gut says that there are a lot more people with a lot of common sense out there who would make this world a better place if they just took action and voted. There's lots of other action you can take, but the most basic and simple and to me a real obligation in people's adult lives is to vote. And I wasn't necessarily, you know, I've voted since I was 18, but I'd never really done anything else. But it struck me how few people were voting and how we ended up where we are today. I think is in large part because people don't take that obligation and responsibility seriously. So when Common Purpose gave us sort of an on-ramp to helping others vote, you know, even though it seems like we're doing community charitable work, sort of, really, I think it's very self-serving. I want more people to vote, and hopefully they'll vote the way I see the world. But even if they don't, at least if more people are voting, if we could get a higher percentage of people out there choosing the kind of government they want, I believe that it's going to be more along the lines of what I consider appropriate and righteous. So I want to do anything I can to push that forward. And that's what Common Purpose represented for me.
Oh my gosh. So everyone, listeners, this is why Andrea is a superstar.
It's not hard.
Around at the door. And you hadn't done any door knocking before, or
no
phone calls or anything? Okay.
I've done phone calls, but I've never door knocked, and I was terrified of door knocking.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But it turns out I really like it. Well, what if somebody wanted to argue with me? And like I said, I'm an instinctive based actor, not a data driven actor, and I never have facts and data to convince somebody of my opinion. I just feel it so strongly. But I think what Common Purpose taught me is that it's not my job to convince somebody to change their mind. It's my job to open the door to, I'm going to use the wrong language here, but somehow or another, open the door for people to both think and then take action on their own. And I can just hope that they do it the way I think they should. But even if they don't, again, it's all part of a representative and engage democracy.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, I definitely think you've done that for a lot of people. I think we've had the opportunity to be door knocking in a few different places. We've done it together in Nevada, we were registering voters there, but we did it in we've done it in Idaho together. We were doing some Get Out the Caucus in Iowa together. And I've enjoyed it, and then hoping we're going to be able to do a lot more. But through the years, it's been a few years now, with Common Purpose, a little couple. And you're still here. You're still with us, even though you're in Idaho. We have an amazing community with community connection with you out in Iowa. You are always figuring out ways to bring us out, engage more people in Sun Valley and Blaine County. And even aside from this, the voter registration mobilization work, you are doing a lot with the Blaine County Democrats and other organizations out there. And we've been inspired by that, just seeing you just take off. We've been feeling like we want to keep up as well.
I want you to come back.
Yeah. Since the start, do you feel that things have changed with Common Purpose, or how have you, your perception of us transformed over the couple of years since we've been together?
Okay, well, so this is such a personal perspective, and so take this for what it's worth. When I joined Common Purpose and went to the workshops and met you, Maria, and got excited to go to Nevada, I felt like it was super young and nascent and green. And I really felt like, especially on that first trip to Nevada, we were all just like making it up as we went along. Luckily, we had a fabulous partner on the ground, Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, and they knew what they were doing. And that, you know, clearly David and you and Charles and the other state team leaders all got that what we needed was, you know, a strong organization on the ground that we could come and work with. And so once I was super nervous going to Nevada, and it felt like, well, this is a crapshoot. It could go fine or it could go to hell in a handbasket, but we're going to do it together. And we had this sweet little team of 12 people. And I remember looking around at that group of people thinking, I'm not like a lot of these people, and this is going to be an oddball group of people. And just by the end of the week, number one, I had knocked doors. We had gone to the Native reservation on, was it Pyramid Lake? I'm forgetting what it was called. Yeah. Like the exposure and experiences we'd had, and we divided up among the 12 of us going in different teams to different parts of this region in the Reno area, with plan members as our leaders and with you, Maria, as our fearless leader. You were fearless. It came together after 7 days of crazy experiences and getting together for dinner every night. We all stayed in the same hotel, and so we saw each other morning and night, and then divided up into teams each day into three or fours in different cars going to different places. And by the end of that week, it was like, oh, I get it. I get it. We can do this. We can have an effect. We can move the needle. We can learn as we go. And it may never be perfect, but it's always pushing. And that was an incredibly empowering, galvanizing experience. I just couldn't wait to do it again. And the sad part is after you've done it, you have to go back to your real life. You have to go back to work. You have to go back to managing family life, and you kind of have to let it go for a little bit. And then the muscle gets weak again, and you have to go flex it some more to get it strong again. And God, I remember David saying, you know, you can jump on the train. There's a train leaving the station every week for this kind of civic engagement. And you can jump on the train when it suits your schedule. And when you get on, it's going to be fine. You're going to be able to do it. And then jump off. And if it takes you 6 months to catch the next train, that's okay. And as it turned out, that's exactly what happened. Like, I got off the train in July, and Jamie and I went, we had some other commitments that took us until the following November. Yeah, November of 2018. And I didn't get back on the Common Purpose train until that 1st of December. And when I got back on, it was like, oh yeah, I can do this. And I think that is such a gift Common Purpose gives to every volunteer. Like this, the expectation, the bar is set wherever you want to jump onto it. God, do I sound like an advertiser? Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I would agree, when we first got started, it did feel new and green because it was. And I think probably one of the quickest and awesome changes that I've been able to notice, just as someone who has been a state lead over the few years that we've been working, that when we were first reaching out in 2018 to find a partner organization to guide us and lead us and to volunteer for, because in Common Purpose, it's important that when we travel to these different states across the nation, that we build a good relationship and find a partner organization that has the strategy, that has the knowledge and the materials, the know-how of how the best ways that we could come out and support and register voters and mobilize voters and support the causes that they're supporting. It was really important for us to have that partnership, but at first it was really hard because we didn't really have a whole lot of like experience to say, oh yeah, we've done this in these other states before. Here's other organizations we've partnered with. When we were calling them, we were just like, hey, we've got a group and we're from Seattle and we just want to come and help. And I think there are lots of reasons that those organizations could be a little bit uncertain, like not knowing, okay, is this group from Seattle, are they going to be like ultra progressive people coming, you know, telling us what to do or thinking that they know what's best, or maybe they're not going to really follow through with the things that they're saying. They didn't really have a whole lot of reason to trust us. And yeah, that was one thing I really appreciated with our teams, is that they really showed up. They really metaphorically took off the Common Purpose shirt and put on the shirt of our partner organization, Plan, Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, and have those lovely rainbow colors on it. It bonded us. It really helped build that relationship with the partner organization, that they continued to ask us to come back after that. And then after working again in 2019, and then by the time we got to 2020, we were able to say, look, here's all the states that we've been able to do this work in. We are up to 2,000 volunteers now from Seattle that are ready and willing to help. Here are the different organizations we've worked with. And by 2020, it was a lot easier. Either we had already built great relationships with partner organizations, or they had they could have some trust based off of our track record with some of the other organizations. So that was really awesome. And you were also somebody who really helped galvanize that relationship with Progressive Leadership Alliance in Nevada, because of I believe it was a friend that you had in Reno that was already doing work.
Yeah. So luckily enough, my husband's sort of auntie had been a constituent relations person for Senator Harry Reid's office in Reno. And so I called her when I chose the Nevada team to join and asked for some recommendations. And she went back to Harry Reid's office, to her former colleagues there, and said, who's the best? And that's what they said. So we really got, you know, a nice insider view of that.
Yeah. And it was this year I am the co-lead for the Iowa state team with Common Purpose. And it was a similar way that we got connected in Iowa. It was actually Mary Fiegel, who was on that first trip with us to Nevada, was actually born in Iowa. And she had some connections in Iowa that helped us find our partner organization, Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement, there. So it's just awesome and amazing that the connections that our community has can lead to broader connections for the organization and can lead to all this really good work. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got one of our listeners here asking us to talk a little bit more about the door knocking experience. And you mentioned it was, you did it for the first time with Common Purpose. You had some trepidations about it at first, and then afterwards you felt better. And I think I started door knocking in 2016, I think. And I was nervous as well, but nothing can compare to the door knocking experience that I've had with Common Purpose. Andrea, have you door knocked with other organizations, and is it different with Common Purpose?
Well, that's interesting. My door knocking started with Common Purpose, and I said I was super scared at first because I was afraid. Number one, I would have to marshal, you know, an argument to convince somebody. And that's really not what we're doing. And number two, that people might be angry. And as it turns out, at least all the door knocking I've done, first with Common Purpose, and now I'm the one organizing people to door knock and to phone bank and to text bank. Yeah. Here in Blaine County and in South Central Idaho, basically in the 26th legislative district here in Idaho, and trying to encourage people not to be afraid and to jump in, because number one, the turf that gets cut, the doors that we are sent to have been pre-screened. Mm-hmm. And so for the most part, we're going to go to, if not overtly friendly, we're going to go to what are likely to be open-minded doors, people who are not, you know, hardcore other party or, you know, whatever. You never know. It can happen. But generally, you're going to some screened, filtered section. And then the second thing is you're given a script and some training. And if you start with the script, it may feel uncomfortable in your mouth the first three times, but by the fourth time, you manage that script so that it becomes your language and your story. And I have this sort of Pollyanna view of the world. I just kind of can't wait to hear what other people have to say and what their experience is. And when you go to a door with that, most people are eager to be heard and to hear your brief spiel. And I can't tell you how uplifting it is when you know, if one out of five doors is that kind of experience, that floats you for another 20. And you know, you may not cover a ton of doors. It may be a little bit frustrating at the end of the day that you spent, you know, 4 hours out there over the day, and a lot of doors nobody answered, and some doors people said they weren't interested, but those couple of doors where something good happens, you're having an effect. They're telling other people, you're one of three messages that are coming to them, but you're a living message, and that's incredibly impactful. So yeah. It's small but mighty. How's that? I love it. And every time I go out to start again, I have butterflies. I feel uncomfortable with it. And as soon as I get through one door, I'm like, oh yeah, I know how to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's how I felt too. I definitely love door knocking now, and I'm really eager to be getting out and doing more of it as soon as we are able to, and as soon as it's safe. But it really resonates with me just how much I appreciate that we know that when we're going to a door, we're not necessarily going to be fighting with someone or trying to convince them most of the time of anything, because most of the time when we go, we are doing get out the vote work. And getting out the vote means that you are knocking on doors for folks who are already registered a lot of the time, unless we're knocking doors to register voters. But that's the first part of campaigns, making sure that folks are registered, or one of the earlier pieces. And we don't have to do the piece of having to persuade. There's already been research that's been done about which doors will be leaning Democrat or leaning in the direction that you're hoping folks will get out and vote. And it would be a waste of time for us to go knock on doors that are folks that might not, or are very likely not to agree and to vote in our favor. And the organizations know that, and they strategize for that. And that's why we're normally going out for folks that we hope are going to be voting in our same kind of value direction. But yeah, the other thing I really appreciate is just going out with somebody else. I've had other experiences with organizations where you go to the staging location and they give you your packet and the little map of doors that need to be knocked, and they say, good luck, call us at 3 p.m. or drop your stuff back off once you're done and let us know. And you're going door to door and you're alone. And sometimes you can be nervous about the interactions that you might have. You might have a lot of people not answering the door. You might have people closing the door on you. And after every door, and even if you do have a positive experience that really fires you up and that you get excited about, like you're saying, you don't have anybody to turn to share that experience right away. Yeah. And at Common Purpose, we get to be in teams. We usually have partners, even if we're kind of, you know, one person taking one side of the street and another person taking another side of the street, or often just going door to door together. You get to have those experiences with somebody else, and that other person can encourage you if you feel down, or that other person can share with you a success that they had to get you fired up and so that you can want one too. Or you could learn from each other a technique or a story that you shared that ended up working. And maybe you even walk and get to know each other in between the doors. It's the best type of door knocking experience. And I am so appreciative that that's the way that we get to do it in Common Purpose. And I feel like as well that you hit the nail right on the head about understanding that these are touches. But even if we knock on a door and nobody answers and you get to leave behind a little door hanger or something, that's a touch, that they know that somebody came by that believed that the information that they were giving out was important. And that's just planting a seed, or maybe watering or cultivating a seed that's already growing. It's just important to be able to have as much water on those seeds as possible, or plant as many seeds as possible.
Yeah.
And cool to know that you're a part of that, of growing in using that metaphor, growing like the garden of the just and inclusive democracy that we hope for. So it's
what a metaphor, Maria. Stuff. That is beautiful.
Is it better than the, I don't think it's any better than the train one that you had earlier. I love the train metaphor. I tell people train metaphor all the time.
So Maria, I just have to say that as you just described this planting thing, and I'm actually trying to learn in my social isolation thing here in Idaho, how I can possibly try to grow tomatoes in this very, very cold environment.
Oh.
And it takes a lot of, it takes special care, and you need extra plants so that if some fail, the others might make it. And it's interesting because that's exactly what I'm doing here in Idaho. I've learned from Common Purpose. I'm trying to plant Common Purpose seeds in Idaho. It already has a very nice blue enriched soil in Blaine County, but I want to try to spread it beyond. I'm just going to take this metaphor so far down the road.
Yes.
And, and I've been organizing and getting volunteers who are, you know, sort of afraid like I was early on, and getting them more excited about it. And damn it, but I have like this handful of about 12 or 15 people. Some are like in their early 20s. Many are my age. Some speak Spanish. And we are planting seeds and watering, and a few things are withering, but we are going to turn Idaho purple by 2028. That's our goal. And you can't believe how excited people in this incredibly red state are. And I'm speaking in my own little bubble here, but there are people from the Hispanic community, from the Latinx community, from the kids that are out of school, both in high school and college, that are stuck at home now doing schoolwork, but still eager to start on this. And we've got a texting on Hustle and a phone banking program ready to go that starts this Thursday to get people in Blaine County and the 26th Legislative District to, they have to ask for absentee ballot. They don't need an excuse, but they have to reach out and ask for it. And as you described your watering the seeds and planting the seeds metaphor, that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
So,
oh my gosh.
It's exciting. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so awesome. I've been so appreciative getting to hear all the work that you're doing in Idaho, and hoping that I can visit when I can, so I can just come be a part of it. And it's so good to hear that you're doing the work too around the advocacy for requesting the absentee ballot. It is so wild to me, just something that I've learned being in Common Purpose. And I guess I knew that other states didn't all have mail-in just automatic with free postage, you know, mail in like we have the privilege to do in Washington State. But just being able to have that firsthand experience and hear the perspectives of other folks who don't have that privilege is something that has really driven me, something that I learned a lot about since getting started with Common Purpose. And that concept of privilege is as well is something that motivates me and inspires me. I guess there are, as a young woman of color, there are reasons why I wouldn't have privileges, but there are also a lot of privileges that I do have as someone who got to go to college, as someone who understands the process of public policy a little bit and understands and believes and can have hope for voting and for our voting system. Lots of other privileges that I have. But one thing that a lot of people ask about is just like, especially within our community of folks that are majority white, majority retired, and have the time to be able to do this work, have been voting for many years, and come from a state that has a privilege like you're talking about, of mail-in early voting, when we have our elections. How does that privilege impact you when you're door knocking? And do you think that folks should feel worried about being white or being privileged when they are knocking doors in maybe communities that aren't the same way?
So there's no question that I present as a white, middle-aged, privileged person, and that could be off-putting to anybody I knock door or engage with, including, you know, in a downtown park trying to register voters. But I think Common Purpose has tried very hard to do this, and I'm trying to mimic that here in Idaho as well, by always working with a partner, and if ever possible, have that partnership be with somebody who's somehow different than you are, either different colored skin, different age, different gender, different language skills, whatever it is, that going with a partner and hopefully having the opportunity to represent some diversity in that partnership is a great asset, but it's not always possible. And, you know, I don't know if this is the right answer or not, Maria, but I will say my sense of it is I'm not going to not go. I'm going to still try. And it's my job to be as open-minded and sensitive and aware of the privilege and bias I come to the door with as possible. All I can do is my best, and I'm not going to not do it because it is the privilege. Part of my privilege is what allows me the time and energy and space to do this. And maybe what I need to do more of, and I think Common Purpose does this beautifully, of course, is give of my money and time to encourage younger, more diverse people to be able to enter the fray. Maria, you are a fearless leader as an inspiration to me because you came in as a 25-year-old. Are you 26? Six now?
I came in.
Sorry, I shouldn't ask you this. You're, yes, 25. I always think it, yeah, sorry. That, you know, you're like this baby. You are the same age as my son. And,
what?
And yet you have this maturity and awareness and ability to educate me on things that I am so ignorant of. Oh my God, the things I've learned from you in these last 2 years. that's my job, is to learn as much as I can from my position of privilege, as I can from you and the other Common Purpose leaders, to see the world through a slightly different lens. And that I have to carry that with me to the door, whether I have somebody from a different perspective or not.
Right. Oh, I appreciate you so much. There's no right answer, but if there was a right answer, I think that would be it. Gosh, you know, I think it's awesome. I always am inspired by our community because of how much we recognize that privilege, and folks like you who see it as, you know, it's our responsibility. If we have these privileges, it is our responsibility to do something, take action, and use that privilege to help other people who don't have those privileges. And like you were talking about with our experience out on the Pyramid Lake Paiute Reservation out in Reno, there were definitely different privilege dynamics, at least in that example. The folks on the reservation were upset about how far the polling location was out from their reservation. They had been fighting and trying to get polling locations closer. The tribal representative who invited us to do this on the reservation, because we wouldn't just go up and show up and decide that that's what we wanted to do. We were asked and invited. And that tribal representative, and she was an amazing community leader that also works with Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada. She talked with us about those privileges. You remember that? And
she was amazing.
She explained to us why the folks on that reservation might not have as much hope, and encouraged us to be open-minded about that, and encouraged us to think about those privileges as we were doing the work. And it's a story that's really stuck with me, and the experiences we had on that reservation have really stuck with me. But I would say, and Andrea, I'm grateful to, you know, you sponsored me to be going out in Florida to do work in 2019 as well, to help register folks who had previously been incarcerated right after Amendment 4 had passed. And I've door knocked in neighborhoods where lots of folks are different than me. And I think I've always felt that no one that has answered the door has seen those privileges and seen that I was different and turned me away because of it.
Right.
I think most of the time, regardless, they open the door and see another person. They see another human being that obviously cares about something. Oftentimes, they're very grateful, and they might recognize that your accent is not from where they're from. And, you know, it's always important for you to share a little bit of your story and why you're there when you're at the door. Stick to the script, but sometimes, you know, make it personal and share a little bit of your story. And we'll often say, you know, we're actually out here from Seattle doing this. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, my gosh, you came all this way. Really, you just came across the country because this is important to you. And they'll ask, like, do you get paid? And we're like, no, we don't get paid. We're volunteers. We're just here because it matters. And you matter. And your voice matters. And I've always been welcomed with gratitude when I've shared those stories. And I've never had anybody turn me away. I hope that's been the same for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say, you know, there certainly have been times where if you get an engagement, you're going to have a conversation and it's probably going to turn out pretty well. There are certainly times when people open the door, they look at you and you open your mouth to begin something and they're like, you know, either sometimes, you know, they're busy and you have interrupted their day and you need to be mindful of that. But generally, they're going to stop you before you get into a place where it's an uncomfortable conversation. And certainly I've had people say, I'm really not interested. And you got to respect that. And that's an easy thing to walk away from with a, well, thank you so much. Have a great day. You know, I always sort of give in that little last thing of don't forget to vote. But generally it's a pretty, it's a pretty positive experience.
Yeah, totally. So we talked a lot about the field work, and you have really engaged with Common Purpose pretty much on every level that you could possibly engage. And that's why we love you so much. And also why I think we've been able to become close is because, you know, you've done the work with us. You have hosted fundraisers, helped put together lectures, been a part of the lectures. You've done salons for us, all kinds of things. And recently as well, came with us to Iowa on our tour for the presidential primaries. And I was excited about that because we don't always have opportunities to spend multiple days together, but also because I've appreciated your perspective on the presidential primaries. You've hosted watch parties at your home. And have followed it and been pretty engaged. How was that tour experience for you in contrast to like the fieldwork trips? And did you learn anything from them?
Well, yeah, I learned a ton. and I have to say, so I felt a little bit guilty going on the field trip in a way, because I felt like I wasn't contributing. I was you know, fulfilling my own sort of desires. Although we did get to go out and door knock for candidates if we wanted to, and I did enjoy doing that. But here's the thing I'll take away from the experience of retail politics up close on that national level, which, you know, living in Washington or some of these most states, we don't get that kind of one-on-one or close-up interaction with these national politicians. And the thing I came away with that is so, sorry about the wind in my ears, galvanizing was how I get that each of these candidates that we heard speak, and I think I heard 8 of the 9 in person, and I talked to them face to face. I swear to God, they would pull out their own fingernails on behalf of Americans, you know, unlike our current leader. And that sense of the selflessness and commitment to democracy and you know, just and inclusive democracy was so so visceral. I had no idea. I really felt like they had been coached and practiced, and that, you know, I would not be that moved by them. But what I realize is that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of legislators and city council people and board of supervisors, candidates. My own very close friend who joined Common Purpose with me in the very beginning is now a city council member on the Kirkland City Council. and how damn hard she works, and that she and Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, and of course, you know, Elizabeth Warren, my fangirl for her, they came from these same places of what can I do to make the world better around me? And I'm going to get teary eyed. I'm such a damn Pollyanna, but they were so impressive. And to get to see that, you don't get that when you see them at a 20,000 person rally or, you know, on a debate stage, but getting to see it up close and personal, it makes me want to say, when you have an opportunity to go to a town hall for your local congressperson or even your city council candidate or school board candidate, go and hear them speak and ask them questions, because geez, either they'll show themselves to be the quality people they are, or clearly you shouldn't vote for them.
Yeah.
So that's what I learned by going to that.
I definitely felt the same way. Gosh, we're coming up on time here. I just want to say thank you so much. This has been so awesome. And you've really engaged with us so much in a lot of different ways. I just can't wait until I can be able to see you again and I'll be able to talk some more.
Yes, me too. And thank you. Thank you for the community you've given me.
Oh, thank you. So if folks are wanting to get engaged, they'll be able to tune into David's lectures. I know that you watch those. Let's see what else have we got coming up. Andrea, are you going to be watching trivia on Wednesday? Next Wednesday?
Yes, I will be watching with my mouth closed. That is not my strong suit. And I'll be cheering for you, Maria.
Thank you. So I'm just going to do just a little shout out here for our spring Common Purpose Trivia series that is going to be next Wednesday the 29th at 5 o'clock, and it's going to be streamed on our Facebook and on our YouTube. And it's just a fun opportunity for us to continue to be in community, to continue to stay educated about some of the races on the state teams that whose travel was suspended because of coronavirus. Andrea, you had planned to go to Iowa and Colorado, I believe.
Yes, and Kentucky and Alaska.
Oh, yeah. She was in, and still is, I'm sure. But on Wednesday, our trivia competition is going to be focusing on Iowa and Alaska and Georgia. And you're going to get to watch Team Daniel Caseberg and the leadership team, Team MJ, Maria Jimenez, who is on our team as well, Team Wale, Akino Soto, who is staff as well, and me face off answering questions about those state races that David comes up with. And if anybody has ever played a game with David, it is going to be interesting because he comes up with some really, really fun questions. You know, Andrea, I'm curious. I have a couple minutes if you do. When folks signed up for the teams, they did take a little survey that got sorted, that sorts them like the kind of like the Harry Potter sorting hat into a team. And that is how we, the team captains, are going to be answering the questions. We probably didn't study that much. We're going to rely pretty heavy on our team to help us answer the questions that David puts together. And in that test, there were just some fun questions. Would you mind if I just asked you the questions and tried to see, it's just four of them or five, which team you would have ended up on?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, let's go. Do. Spring trivia sorting. Okay, pick a color. Lavender, gold, turquoise, pine green.
Pine green.
Okay, pick an animal. Wolf, eagle, butterfly, orca.
Wolf.
Okay, pick a superpower. Life, like healing or growing things, multiplying yourself, flight, to fly, or persuading people.
Flight.
Oh, okay. Okay, pick an outdoor activity. Relaxing and reading a book. Biking. Hiking. Or a team sport.
Hiking.
Oh, gosh. Okay, last question. Pick a tasty vegetable. Spinach. Cucumber. Broccoli. Bell pepper.
Bell pepper.
Oh, my gosh.
Where am I?
Andrea, you would have been Team Daniel. You would have been Team Daniel. What would you
go, Team Daniel.
Rooting for Team Daniel.
Sorry, Maria. Sorry, my alliances have shifted.
That's okay. I was laughing because we have someone who is a co-lead for the Florida team. And you know, MJ is the other co-lead for the Florida team, and she ended up on my team. And my co-lead for the Iowa team, Mary Fiegel, ended up on somebody else's team too. And it's just so funny. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you for participating.
Thanks for including me. And I have to say, clearly, we can all switch partners and still do good work, right?
Yeah, totally. All right, so... Hopefully, we'll be able to be in touch then. I appreciate everything that you do for us, Andrea. Thank you for being an amazing supporter, for being an amazing community member, and for being a really good friend.
Oh, right back at you. Thank you. And cheers to Common Purpose growing and continuing to move the needle. It's so galvanizing and inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So say hi to Jamie for me. And thank you, listeners, and hopefully you can tune in for our next community spotlight.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.